Hi, welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and in this podcast, we talk about sex honestly, candidly, and sometimes even soulfully. Come on over to PleasureMechanics.com and check out our complete podcast archive. And while you are there, go to PleasureMechanics.com/free and sign up for one of our free mini courses so we can deliver curated sex advice, actionable strategies, and our favorite podcast episodes straight to your inbox. When you are ready to master new erotic skills, check out our premium multimedia online courses so we can guide you stroke by stroke in mastering skills like couples massage or foreplay, kinky sex, erotic spanking, prostate massage. Whatever skill you need to uplevel your pleasure today. Use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off the online course of your choice. On today's episode, we are going to be expanding on a theme we touched on in one of our parenting episodes. We're talking about playful sex, how to bring the elements of play, fun, mirth, I like that word, mirth, into your sex life. The truth is, we all take sex a little bit too seriously. And I take sex really seriously. It's basically all I read and think about for the past 20-some years of my life. So I think it should be taken seriously. But when it comes to having sex with another person, having a physical relationship over the years, the elements of play and laughter and joy, anticipation, surprise, all of these components of playful sex are really important to keeping the fun in your sex life, to keeping sex being something that's pleasurable and not another chore on your to-do list.
Yeah, we recently, as Chris was saying, did two episodes on sex after birth and sex while you have kids. And Esther Perel, who's this brilliant sex therapist, talks about how a lot of mothers and parents experience this thing called Eros Redirected, where they take these elements from Eros, from erotic vitality, and channel it into their parenting. So this is like playfulness, novelty, delighting, delight. And people think about doing all those things and creating those experiences for their kids, but that often, once kids appear, we forget about that for our partners. We forget about creating those experiences in our sexuality and in our erotic life. And I found that really poignant. I think this element of play in our sex life is a really under thought about or experienced quality. Because I think sex has become so much about performance and
doing it right.
Yeah, and, you know, our egos are very involved, and are we desirable? Are we... Yeah, I mean, these really serious issues, but it can make it quite weighty.
Well, like anything else in the sexual world, playfulness is one attribute that exists along a spectrum. Some people are really playful when it comes to sex and love nothing more than laughing their way through an orgasm. Other people find that a little confronting and are more serious in the bedroom. But we can all tap into this quality to expand our erotic horizons and try something new. And so if you're a really playful, erotic person and have lost that and want to reignite that quality, that's awesome. And if you're someone who's never even attempted to be playful in sex, maybe it's something to try to unlock new parts of your erotic self. And so we want to lay out some strategies and some games to invite you to play, not with us, but with your lovers, and see how you can harness the qualities of playfulness. So first, what are the qualities of playfulness? As we were sitting down to record this, Charlotte was like, how do you define playful? I was like, well, how do you define blue? Like, playful is playful, but it's a good question, actually.
Thanks. You looked at me like I was crazy.
Well, sometimes these things that seem obvious need to be broken down. So for me, being playful means the opposite of being serious. It means making light of something, enjoying it for joy's sake, taking away all, like, meaning and the social gaze, and just enjoying the physicality of sex, enjoying the wonder of it, the strangeness of it, and also harnessing the other qualities of play, which I think of as anticipation, surprise, creativity. So if you think about some of your favorite games out in the world, beyond the bedroom, what are the qualities of those games do you enjoy? And how do we bring those qualities into our sexual play with one another? And to get less serious about sex, you have to have a certain amount of sexual confidence, right? So to allow your partner to see you laugh or make a mistake, and think about those classic moments, like if you're having intercourse and the penis slips out and hits your thigh, or you can't quite keep it in and just kind of keeps slipping out. Like, this has all happened to us. Or you let out a fart or something like that in the middle of sex. Do you clam up and get really tense and feel like the mood has been broken and you'll never be able to recover and you feel embarrassed and you want to run away to the bathroom? Or can you just look at your partner and start laughing about it? Can you make light of the situation and be like, whoop, well, that didn't work, like, Slippy Willy or whatever it is, you know? Can you make a joke about it, make your partner laugh, and continue to be in the joy of the moment?
Slippy Willy?
I just made that up. Trademark registered. Right? Like, yeah. I've been in both situations. I've been with partners where everything feels so serious, so intense, and there's no laughter, there's no joy, and it kind of is this very...
It's a bit stifling.
Yeah. And I've been with partners that we can laugh through anything. And for me, that laughter is a real freedom. It's a real comfort in the body and does bring sex back to the realm of play. It's something adults do to feel good and to play together.
But how do we get that? How do we encourage people to be able to, because how to be able to laugh and feel a little bit more free and like you're creating art or you're creating an experience together that is really just for your own joy of and connection?
So I think the first step is stepping away from scripts. If there's a script, a routine that you do every time, and you're kind of working your way through those motions, there's not a whole lot of room for play and creativity. When we go to the playground, we don't say, okay, we're going to go down the slide 3 times and that will warm us up for the swings, and then we'll swing until you've had enough and then we'll get on the seesaw, right? If there's not a script for the playground, it's kind of
what you
we
feel
approach.
Like.
Yeah, and then it's, what do you feel like doing? Do you want to go down the slide again? Do you want to go down the slide backwards? Do you want to go on the swings? Do you want to seesaw? Right? It's a choose your own adventure approach. And this is one of the elements of play that we can bring, is a free form creative style.
Oh, I love it.
So stepping away from scripts can help you have a little bit more freedom in your approach to sex. Erase all scripts that you normally do with your partner. Get in bed with your clothes on.
Whoa.
Allow the clothes coming off to be part of the play and see what you feel like doing.
If you are somebody that gets to hang out with kids, it's so helpful to, especially young kids, to really understand this world of play. I mean, I think as adults, we certainly have lost track of it and don't really think of it too much or presence it or try and cultivate it as a quality in our life. And it's really illuminating to spend time with small children and see how they see the world.
What do you notice?
And the qualities they bring. I mean, it's just so much freedom to start with. I mean, there's no rules. There are no confines on what is reality or what is.
Well, by rules, you're talking about right or wrong, doing it well or doing it poorly. And we're talking about young kids, kind of 5 and under, who still have that sense of freedom before they pick up on this idea that there's a right way to use a paintbrush. And, you know, a toddler will hold that paintbrush between their toes and tickle their nose with it.
Right.
Be in the glee of that. And they're not having this outside censorship of this is the wrong way to use a paintbrush. But if you put an adult in front of a piece of paper with watercolors and a paintbrush, it's all of a sudden like, I don't know how to make a sailboat.
Yeah, right. I feel the contraction in my body. Just like, oh, how do I do this right? It's not going to be good.
And we often bring that to sex. Yeah. And this is what I'm saying a lot of times in the beginning of our episodes, where I'm trying to transform this notion of better sex equals doing it right. Mm. And that's different from learning techniques and having new skills. But it's not about right or wrong. It's about what feels good in that moment to both of you. And if you use that as your guideline, you can tickle your nose with a paintbrush, and that's right. And so if you're having sex with someone, one of my most playful lovers, we would just get so creative. And I would find these things, like if I put my head between his crotch and just like nuzzled the top of my bald head, and you know, I have a shaved head, like that feeling against his perineum was really pleasurable. But like that kind of like nuzzling into his perineum with the crown of my head is not in any technique book. But because we had this open physicality and playfulness, we discovered so many new ways of touching one another that were really fun and that brought a lot of pleasure to one another's bodies. And it was a very freeing experience for me because it allowed me to use my full body in these new ways. So here's one game to start playing to harness this freedom in your body. So choose one person to give and receive, take turns, and use different parts of your body to touch one another. So you're not allowed to use your hands, you're not allowed to use your mouth. What other parts of your bodies can you use to stimulate one another? How does it feel when you run your forearm along each other's backs? Or how does it feel when you nuzzle in with your face but don't really focus on kissing, but you're using your cheeks and your nose and your forehead? Give yourself permission to touch one another without your primary tools, without your hands and your mouth, and see what happens. Another touch game that's fun is the drawing letters on each other's back games, because it just brings your attention into sensation. And it can get goofy because you can write silly words or silly messages. So I'm talking about kind of scratching out one letter at a time, and the person has to guess, like, was that an I or a P? And you start spelling out words and make it silly. Don't write, I love you every time. Spell out stinky butt or something.
Oh my God.
Not stinky butt. That's a bad idea.
No, but.
We're getting a little goofy in just recording this because we're talking about play and laughter. And so it's kind of. And that's the other thing, is just choosing to be more playful makes you playful.
It's an interesting idea just to be aware of the quality of playfulness in your life in general, mm-hmm. knowing that, of course, if you choose to cultivate that one quality in all of your life, that, of course, that will affect your sexuality and your erotic life.
Well, study after study shows that one of the qualities of healthy, happy, long-term relationships is the ability to make one another laugh. Mm. And so, yes, choosing to be more playful with each other in general, it takes the stress off our daily life. Like, life is serious enough.
Yeah.
And you're always going to have the medical stuff and the bills and the work and the stress. So one of the qualities you can choose to bring to one another as a gift to one another is levity and fun and joy. And when I was sick last year, I chose to start watching more stand-up comedy, and I listened to comedy podcasts. And just having other people make me laugh and being around funny people through media made me feel better. And then I become a funnier person and can laugh at life a little more and enjoy the comedy that's all around us. Making each other laugh, it also sets off oxytocin, and it's like hormonally really good for your relationship. But just notice how much you play together.
Yeah, I think just having playfulness, laughter, these are all things that make us feel alive. They make us feel more than we're just surviving through life. They're a really important element to this experience of thriving in life. And when we bring it to our sexuality, it becomes like there's an erotic vitality that is alive. It becomes beyond routine, beyond the scripts, as you're saying. It enlivens life.
So when we were on the playground, back to the playground, we go to a lot of playgrounds. The other day, there was a family there, and they were playing a whole family-wide game of tag. So it was a man and a woman, two kids, and they were, like, so in love. We were kind of like, how long have they been together? Because the kids are 8 or 9 years old, and how are they so in love after all these years? And it turns out they were kind of new to each other, and these were, like, a step family, and I think they were newlyweds, and they had that energy, but they were playing tag, and it reminded me of a few games you and I used to play before kids. One is just playing tag in your home with the erotic intention. So if your partner's like on the couch and it's another Wednesday night and you're feeling kind of sexy and in the mood, like take off a piece of clothing, throw it at them on the couch and say, tag, you're it, and then run away. That will snap them out of their routine Wednesday night, right? And there's a bit of vulnerability in this because what if they don't want to chase you? Right? But maybe they do, and then they throw a piece of clothing at you and say, tag, you're it, and then you kind of scamper around the house. Again, this is easier to do if you don't have kids in the house. But it's an option. Another game we used to play is kind of erotic hide-and-seek. So if one of us was in the mood, we would kind of take off our clothes, get in bed, and then shout across the house, come find me! And this was kind of a clue that we wanted to be found, and we would find one another, and sometimes we'd have more elaborate hiding spots than others. But when we were found, it was the invitation to get cuddly, get sexy, and have a moment together. And sometimes that didn't elevate all the way to, like, full-on sex. Sometimes it was just cuddles and kisses. We'd do it after we got out of the shower, you know, like, tease in the other room, like, hey, I'm naked, come find me. Mm. But this come find me game became kind of a classic.
Yeah, it was such a fun game. I guess we're saying used to because we don't play it so much because we have a kid in the house all the time now. It doesn't feel really appropriate, so we have to find ways to reincorporate that. But it's a really simple, silly thing, but somehow it always created a fun experience of the anticipation, the excitement, the surprise.
Well, and the anticipation, like the moments in between saying, come find me, and then waiting to be found. You have this kind of giddy, like, oh my god, are they gonna find me? Which, remember how that felt as a kid playing hide and seek. Like, what is fun about hide and seek as a kid? It's not really that elaborate of a game, but one of the fun things is that emotional experience of anticipation and waiting for that moment of, ha-ha, I found you! And you can hide in kind of interesting places, or you can just be in bed waiting, right? It doesn't have to be...
We played this game so much, I'm just remembering there's this one hotel room that we went to, and normally we just, like, you know, it was part of our world, we just play this game, and so I went into the hotel room, she wasn't there, I was looking all over
the place. You thought I was hiding?
I thought you were doing an amazing hiding.
You're, like, looking in the mini fridge.
I was looking everywhere.
In the bathtub.
And it turned out that we had just crossed paths and you weren't actually in the room, but I had a great, like, 5-10 minutes, like so much anticipation, like, oh my god, this is so fun.
And I walked in after taking the luggage down to the car, like, what are you doing?
But I have to say, even without you there, it was a really fun game.
I don't know if hide and seek works as a masturbation game, but yeah.
No, yeah. Surprising.
Another game you can play with touch and sensation is like this or like that. Meaning you, as you're playing, as you're having sex, do one kind of stimulation and say, do you like it like this? Licking really fast on her clitoris. Or like that. And then slow it way down. Like this or like that. Like this or like that. And you're just offering them two options. But the playfulness in the invitation, the playfulness in the voice invites them to not take it so seriously. There's not a right way or a wrong way. You're just kind of giving them choice A or choice B and they get to direct. And then do that for a little while and then say, okay, now like this. One finger circling their entrance or like that. Two fingers. And this is a really playful way to actually get a lot of information about what kind of stimulation they're wanting in that moment. The other option for this is the say when game. So you say, I'm going to start licking your nipple really, really lightly. And I'm going to increase pressure. You say when it feels just right. And this is, again, a classic children's game, like say when. But you're building up simulation, you're inviting them to give you feedback in a playful way. So it's not like, am I doing this right? How does that feel, honey? In that kind of serious voice that can turn a lot of people off. It's just bringing that playfulness, that spirit of communication into the bedroom.
Do you think it's important to set it up? Like, honey, I want to play this game
if you've never played it before. Yeah.
Or, like, more in the warm-up experience of, like, just getting into bed or, like, not, like, while you're, like, heading towards climax or, like, you've built up a whole bunch. Yeah. And you're, like... Because I feel like that could be frustrating if someone's, like...
Yeah. No, it's part of initiation. It's part of kind of the seduction, the moving into pleasure. Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't recommend the Say When game at the brink of orgasm because that's taking them out of their experience.
But more in the beginning when you're exploring and...
Yeah, and these are great games to play with massage, with touch. And especially as you're learning these games together, as you're playing with this kind of new spirit of playfulness in the bedroom, do it with less pressure on you. So maybe not oral sex, but a back rub, a butt rub.
Sensation on your skin in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, your touching nipples or whatever it is. And then another classic version of a touch game is the 5-minute game. So you take an egg timer or your iPhone timer. Who has an egg timer anymore? I don't know. You take a timer, you set it for 5 minutes, and you say, what would you like me to provide for you for 5 minutes? And because it's 5 minutes, or you can do 3 minutes or 1 minute, because it has a time constraint, it all of a sudden becomes this opportunity to say exactly what your body is craving. And some people will clam up and not know what to ask for. In that case, you can offer options. I have 5 minutes. Would you like back scratches? Or would you like me to pet your hair lovingly? You can say A or B.
Or butt massage. Or
C or D or F. But the 5-minute game, because it has this container, it's a different experience than saying, what do you want tonight, honey?
Are you in the mood for anything?
The container of the game itself creates a new kind of freedom, a new kind of opportunity to ask for what you want. And then when the timer goes off, you stop. And maybe you switch roles. Or you can set the timer again. But part of honoring that container is actually stopping. And that kind of creates, again, this invitation to really focus on that 5 minutes, to make them count, and also to realize how long 5 minutes can feel. And in the massage course, we have 5-minute follow-along guides, precisely because we want people to experience what 5 minutes can do for their body. And that massage doesn't have to be this long, elaborate, hour-long ritual with candles and oil and duh. Like, it can just be 5 minutes of loving touch can totally shift how you feel in your body. Just the other day, we had an opportunity. We were about to do some work together. Our child was out of the house. We were both feeling a little blah, and so I said, how about we do 5 minutes of massage? Let's see how that feels. And after 5 minutes went by, we were both just like, wow, how is that only 5 minutes? I feel completely transformed. So playing the 5-minute game is a great way to experience how powerful 5 minutes of focused touch can be.
And I think that if you find receiving challenging, it's this wonderful invitation because it's so little. Like, you kind of can register that your partner could probably do pretty much anything for 5 minutes. It's not that big of an ask. And so I feel like it's a really good way to titrate experiencing receiving and making requests. And what do I really want right now? Like, what would feel awesome for my body? And how do I make that request? It's a really powerful game. I really love that game in terms of all the different elements that are going on at the same time. And it's such a good one for strengthening all of those muscles within a relationship.
And a lot of people think about kinky sex as the ultimate game playing for adults. It's a way that we bring out the costumes and the props and try out different sensations. And it is kind of this wonderland of games. And if you feel like you enjoy costumery, if you enjoy role playing, if you enjoy different sensations with all different kinds of props, then kinky sex might be something to explore. But don't feel like your games have to get kinky. You can start with, like, the simplest games, this hide and seek, tag, come find me, what letter am I tracing on your back, what can I do for you in 5 minutes? These are the simplest versions of bringing gameplay and playfulness back into your bedroom and just notice how that feels. Just notice how it opens up communication, how it lightens the mood, how it makes you feel like a team again. Part of playing is kind of collaborating. And sometimes sex can feel more just like this thing you're doing together instead of something you're collaborating on. So what does the spirit of playfulness bring into your bedroom? And I think that's the invitation of this episode. Choose one simple way to play together and be silly with it. Have fun and risk having fun. Be vulnerable enough to initiate a game like this. There's also all sorts of things you can do in the sensation realm, like ice cubes and different kinds of plants. And, you know, sensation play is play in the most true sense because it is just about curiosity. Like, what would it feel like if I ran this along your skin? Let's find out. That's the core question of sensation play, which is a huge part of kinky sex. And so some people get so kind of hung up on how complicated kinky sex is, but it starts with, how does it feel if I run my fingertips versus the tip of my nails? How does it feel if I give you a little bit more pressure, a little less pressure, and start noticing all of those sensations you can create with just about anything, starting with your hands, starting with your tip of your nose, or the whisper of your breath on your lover's skin. It's so available and accessible if we choose to play, if we choose to be curious, if we choose to have fun again. And I have to say, this is one of my favorite things about being a parent, is it's reminding me what it means to have fun.
I feel like it's giving me this whole new access to what play is. I had no idea, really, without spending this much time with a child, how freeing this quality is, and how inspiring it is. It's really a phenomenal thing to observe children be in the world and play with them in this way that you wouldn't necessarily... I mean, you just get these permission slips to kind of be ridiculous and, like, make up a whole story about dinosaur eggs and, you know, this sort of world that you just wouldn't really do as an adult unless you're really into that kind of costuming play or cosplay, you know, whatever. People do go deep into that. But so if you have kids in your life, really, like, pay attention to this quality and see if you can play more with them and learn from them in terms of how to spark this quality in your own life. And then you can explore it in an adult-only way. I think that I just want to bring on the challenge of bringing a little bit more playfulness into all of our life. And what does that look like? Just being aware of it and seeing how to cultivate a little more play in all sorts of spaces, erotic and otherwise.
Another form of play is storytelling. Mm-hmm. So one of the games that kids of all ages love to play is telling stories. And you can do this with dirty talk in the bedroom. And so instead of having this whole role figured out and, you know, this whole scenario pre-planned and taking that very seriously, you can start one of those story games where you kind of pass the ball. So you say, what would it be like if we were walking down a street late at night and all of a sudden... And then your partner has to take up the story thread. Or, I was locked in a tower and all of a sudden I heard a noise at the door. Who was there? And that gives your partner the opportunity to be the bandit coming to whatever, you know. But playing storytelling is a fun way to unlock the quality of dirty talk and role-playing just in your imagination, just in the story you're telling. And you can do this while having sex, or you can do it on a long car drive. Like, let's tell each other a dirty story one sentence at a time. And that's a form of play that some people will get really into if they're kind of more wordy and, you know, like...
imaginative.
Yeah, like telling stories. And other people will get much more into the physical game of hide-and-seek or tag. So find the ways you like to play the best.
And it's okay if you notice you're sort of having this opportunity and you clamp up and you feel like, oh my goodness, what am I going to say? This feels stressful. Just, like, be gentle with yourself. That is totally normal. We are adults. This is scary to play.
Okay, I want to extract a piece of advice from you right now. So this kind of storytelling isn't your natural suit.
No,
it is for me.
I feel stressed about it sometimes.
So what can I do to make you feel less stressed about that and to free up your storyteller?
You could give me three options, and then I could riff off that. I think I would probably prefer to do this kind of thing, like going for a walk, so I could like be more physical while we're having this conversation. Like being in a car, I feel constricted already just having to like just use my brain to have those conversations. Like I feel like I'd need to move to activate all of my erotic self, interestingly. I think like be really supportive in whatever idea, even if it's a stupid idea or like not a stupid idea. This is the whole judgment thing coming in, right? If it is not like great of an idea, like allow that there's like a warming up process and that it's scary to be speaking these things for some people. So just be supportive and encouraging. And
so I think this just brings us back to kind of sportsmanship and any game you're playing. It's a much more fun experience if people bring a good attitude and good ethics to it. And so if you initiate a game of tag and your partner is kind of slow to get up off the couch, don't be like, "Ugh, I tried to play a game with you and you're an idiot," like, meh, and ruin the mood. You can peek back in and be like, "Tag, you're it." Or, "Do I need to come find you?" You know, keep the game going, no matter what their reaction is, until you figure out what's going on for them. Like, "Oh, your knee is hurting after work. You don't want to chase me? Well, I'm going to come get you." Right? You can Aikido that moment. If someone clams up, if someone is finding themselves locked down, because this happens all the time when adults are asked to play in any way. Take adults to a painting class, take adults into a playground, and it's almost like we've lost this skill.
We absolutely have.
You know, dancing, you know, it's like, notice the awkwardness at a family wedding. Like, it's not, and this is cultural too, the kinds of play that are allowed for adults and what's expected of adults.
So you really want to be a supportive, loving, safe space, because safety is actually incredibly important. To feel safe is essential before you can feel creative and playful. This is one of the things that Perel talks about. And I think it's really interesting that that's essential. So you want to really intentionally create the space that you can say whatever or you can do whatever, and you are not going to judge them or think they're lesser than or think they're not very creative. You're just like, I love you, this is fun, look, we're trying this out.
There's no right or wrong. It's just about playing together, having fun in your bodies. And what would happen if we brought that attitude to all of our sex lives? Right? It's just about pleasure, it's just about joy, let's have fun together.
And also just date time. I just want to bring that up. Like, try and create playful dates. Like, do you want to go to a movie and sit there and have a meal? Those are great options for certain moments. But
I love movies.
Yeah, those are awesome. But sometimes you might want to go play mini golf or go play, I don't know, whatever you think is playful and fun. But you can intentionally, for whatever is right for you guys, like, try and do something that feels novel and playful and unusual and out of your normal routine. Mm-hmm. And just see what that brings up in your relationship. Because I think that's really an important quality to keep trying to inject into your relationship, if you will. Sorry.
You just got very breathy. Well, there's your playful injection.
We hope this has inspired you to explore bringing playfulness into your world in general, and hopefully maybe in the bedroom as well, and just to be a little gentle with yourself and creative, and see if you feel a little bit more alive and connected with your partner, and have fun with it.
Perfect. Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com for our full podcast archive. Sign up for free mini courses at pleasuremechanics.com/free. And when you're ready, check out our erotic mastery courses so you can learn new skills to play with. New skills make you much more playful, I find. Use the code Speaking of Sex for 20% off the online course of your choice. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are your pleasure mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.
Cheers.